Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of July 31st. This week we talk about the 10 pre-flood patriarchs of Genesis chapter 5. This week we pray for those starting up with school, for those with the challenges of making important decisions for the times to come, and for our country and communities. Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Our second reading is from the 14th chapter of St. Matthew. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Please listen carefully to Genesis chapter 5. It is an important genealogy, chock full of information, and it is the discussion point for today. Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female he created them. And he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived, after he fathered Enosh, 807 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived, after he fathered Kenan, 815 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived, after he fathered Mahalalel, 840 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived, after he fathered Jared, 830 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived, after he fathered Enoch, 800 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God. After he fathered Methuselah 300 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son, and called his name Noah, saying, "Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands." Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. After Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. You may be tempted to gloss over Genesis chapter 5, but it's a really important genealogy. We learn that Adam was made in the likeness of God, and when he was 130 years old, he fathered a son in his own likeness who was named Seth. This statement actually says something really interesting about who we are and where we come from. Think of looking at old family pictures and noticing the different resemblances. Sometimes one person may seem to look hauntingly similar to someone who lived a few generations before. The statement is true. Because of genetics, we'll often look like the people who came before us. It is one of the amazing components of God's design. Think how often you can look at your child, and when they turn one way, they may have features that look like their mother, and when they turn another way, they may have features that look like their father. It is like God has found a way to make a square circle. It is just an amazing thing. You will notice that the pre-flood patriarchs lived to these enormous ages. Like in other areas, we take this not in a figurative sense, but in a literal sense. I remember an adult in one of my catechism classes asking how they were supposed to take these ages. Were they really real? He had a hard time believing that. Yes, this was the intent of the writer of Genesis, Moses, as it was given to him to write by God. But how do we explain this? As time goes on, the biblical people are going to get to the point where their ages are a lot more like our ages. But how could these people live so long? Mostly genetics. Their genetics were superior and closer to the ultimate prototype, so to speak, Adam. They also lived in the pre-flood world, and there may have been conditions that protected them from the radiation of the sun better, such as a stronger magnetic field. There actually was a stronger magnetic field on the earth in the past. Or they were able to gain from nature food that was more nutritious than today. Remember, the world has devolved. It has gotten worse since the fall. It is decaying and degrading. As the Apostle Paul writes about it, the creation groans. And we shouldn't be surprised that there were different conditions in the past either. Think of the enormous sizes creatures were growing to be on the earth in the time of the dinosaurs. That takes time. And yes, dinosaurs coincided with people. There's extensive evidence from ancient literature and much artistic evidence, including carvings and cave drawings, that they coincided. My favorite examples are an apparent carving of a stegosaur in the ancient Angkor Wat complex in Cambodia, and there was an apparent sauropod carving on a brass ornament of the tomb of Bishop Bell in Carlisle Cathedral in the United Kingdom, a bishop who died in 1496. Much like today, there were creatures in those times on the edge of extinction, and it wouldn't be a surprise if any of these were hunted to extinction. The evolutionary paradigm says all of this is impossible. Many views that are the norm in modern science are groupthink that cannot be overcome. Real science needs to be open to the possibilities, especially if there is historic evidence and documentation. We can't just throw out evidence. Back to our topic, the pre-flood patriarchs and their ages are Adam, 930 years, Seth, 912 years, Enosh, 905 years, Kenan, 910 years, Mahalalel, 895 years, Jared, 962 years, Enoch, 365, Methuselah, 969, Lamech, 777, and then it says, after Noah was 500 years old, he fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He's actually going to live longer than that. If you're wondering how there could come to be so many people by the time of Noah's flood, keep in mind the phrase that follows in every instance of these pre-flood patriarchs. Not only did they have a son, that was the main line in scripture, but it mentions that they had other sons and daughters. That's important information. When you think of the kings and queens of various kingdoms through the ages, that idea of kings and queens with a certain line of succession came from ancient times, came from the ideas of scripture. These patriarchs were the original kings of old. So the idea of having kings and queens has an ancient vintage. In later times, it is no mistake that many kings claim their thrones by divine right, appealing to the authority of God behind their claims to the throne. Other cultures mention 10 pre-flood kings. The Egyptians and Chaldeans have lists of these kings, even though they go by different names in these cultures. What culture are the Chaldeans? That is the culture out of which Abraham came. Remember, he came out of the city of Ur of the Chaldeans. So Adam lives to be the third oldest man ever. Jared comes in second at 962 years, and Methuselah will be the oldest at 969. So going back to Enoch, Enoch was apparently a prophet, which is also why he ends up walking with God, much like Elijah, later in the Old Testament, will be swept up into heaven. He was only on the earth 365 years before he was taken, Enoch was. It says this interesting thing about Enoch walking with God. I like to think of how God walked with Adam in the Garden of Eden, and so there was a special relationship that Enoch had with the Lord, and the Lord brought him without having to die, much like Elijah later in the Old Testament. So Lamech says this weird thing in the middle of this genealogy account when it talks about Noah. Lamech said, out of the ground the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. Much like Eve thought that maybe her son was the promised Messiah, I believe that Lamech thought this of Noah. Here's why. Enoch was a prophet. He gives his son the name Methuselah, and Hebrew names mean something. They can be dissected. Methuselah can mean, when he dies, he will be sent. Well, Methuselah is going to die during the time of Noah, and so I think that Lamech thinks Noah is this promised relief from the fallenness of the world. But the Lord, the Messiah, must come in the fullness of time, when God is ready for that to happen, which is why Jesus comes when he does, much later. Remember, these people didn't have all the clues they needed about Messiah to identify who he would be. So Lamech thinks that Noah is going to give that relief. But that's not correct. Methuselah doesn't mean when he dies, he will be sent. It means when he dies, it will be sent. What's the it? When the ages of the patriarchs are worked out properly, Methuselah dies in the year of the flood. Methuselah is not going to die in the flood. The flood will come about when Methuselah dies. So when you read about the ancient earth, dinosaurs and everything, you've likely been taught that it was before mankind set foot on the earth because you were probably taught evolutionary ideas. And you probably believe now that the dinosaurs were destroyed when an asteroid hit the Earth. That's a relatively new theory. Did you know that? That has been taken as truth. When I was in college back in the 90s, it was more popularly being taught that an asteroid hit the Earth and wiped out the dinosaurs and much life with it. The reason for this is that at the boundary between where the dinosaurs are found in the fossil record and where they end, there's a layer of sediment rich in iridium found around the world. This layer that contains iridium, an element, is the evidence that is used to say an asteroid wiped out the dinosaurs because iridium is found in meteors. But there's another source for iridium which you may not realize. Do you know what that is? Volcanoes. And with that, we have developing the possibility for a paradigm shift, a different picture of what happened in the past. What happened during Noah's flood? All the fountains of the great deep broke open. Think of the earth breaking open and volcanoes all over the earth erupting. It actually happened in the past. There's evidence for it. So I ask a few final questions here. Did you ever think that it seems like the prehistoric world was erased? Did you ever think that the great extinctions that took place in the past were the result of Noah's flood rather than an asteroid hitting the earth? When you think about it that way, and you start thinking differently about this, the evidence is all around us. From the shaping of our entire landscape to the millions of fossils to the fact that the fossils of sea organisms are up on mountaintops. And God saved one family and warned them of the flood to come. You know, God's word is valuable. It is food for us, for our hearts and souls. The material in Genesis is not this nonsensical mythological stuff that we have to discard. Not at all. It is in Scripture for a purpose, and it gives us valuable insights into the pre-flood world, a world that was and will never be again until God brings about a new heavens and a new earth. And just like God intended to save Noah and his family, God intends to save you. Won't you get on this life-saving ark whose captain is Jesus, who died on the cross that you might have life and rose again? I hope you're already on it. But if not, may it be so. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, you sent your Son Jesus to earth in the fullness of time, directing your people in all times and places to do your will. Direct our eyes ever toward your Son throughout our lives, and give us faith by your Holy Spirit to trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, many have started school this week, and others will be starting in the coming days. Be with teachers, students, and everyone involved in the workings of our schools. Protect their health and safety. Help them to have a good and productive year of learning and growing. Guide us through this coming year, Lord. Amen. Lord, we thank you for our country, and pray that the people of our nation would be directed to trust in you above all things. Help us in our nation and in our communities not to fear uncertainty, but to live with the boldness and confidence, knowing that whatever may come, you are the only true source of salvation, and that we are just passing through in our time here. Guide us always to trust in your promises, that we might have forgiveness and salvation through your Son. In Jesus' name, we pray it. Amen. Lord, at this time, everyone has so many important decisions to make. We pray that in all things you will realign our hearts and our minds to your will, and that you'll realign the people of our nation and our communities to the right priorities. Lead us away from sin and deliver us from our worst impulses, trusting in you for life. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. All of our readings this day were from the English Standard Version of Scripture, and our hymn is Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. It is found on 793 of LSB.
Praise my soul, the King of Heaven, to his feet your tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, evermore his praises sing. Praise him for his grace and favor to his people in distress. Praise him still the same as ever, slow to chide and swift to bless. Hallelujah. Father, like he tends and spares us, well our feeble frame he knows. In his hand he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes. Alleluia, alleluia, widely mercy flows. Angels help us to adore him. You behold him face to face. Sun and moon bow down before him. All who dwell in time and space. Alleluia. God of grace.